Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast, and thanks for joining us for this episode. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy this content, please don't hesitate to leave us a five-star review and share this podcast with your friends. We'd like to extend an invitation to you and your family to join us for worship this week at Grace Baptist Church. We'd also love to connect with you online at graceketering.org. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the episode.
It was a good-sized country church that the Lord had led us to called Haines Baptist Church in Winston-Salem. And I remember the Lord had led us to come back to my hometown of Dayton, Ohio, and to be able to see a church planted in what I believe is the darkest, the most needy part of the city, which was the west side of Dayton, especially the area where I grew up in. And I remember I was speaking to my pastor, and we were preparing to launch into the deep, because that church was over 100 years old but had never reproduced itself, had never planted another local New Testament church. And I don't mind saying this, we were, I want to say at the time, we were probably the only black family in the church. And the church historically has been predominantly black, and it used to be in Hainestown, and all, there's a lot of neat history that comes to it. But it was just amazing how God had worked things out and allowed our family to be the very first church plant out of that church. And when we were preparing, and we were preparing to sell our house and all of these things, me and Pastor Kagan got connected through just online. Somehow we came across paths, and I remember having that first conversation, and I was just pacing. I probably made a hole in the ground just going in circles, just talking to him and really just in awe of God and how he allowed us to be able to cross paths, because we didn't know what to do once we got here as far as where we would go. And I was very thankful for this loving church that opened up their arms and allowed us to stay in the missions place and the mission apartment that you all have. And it was through there that we saw the miracle of God providing housing and all of these things that I could go down the line. Some of you guys know, but I do want to say this. I thank you for prayers. I was always encouraged already how somebody said, "Oh, your name, we pray for you." That means a lot to me, and it means a lot to our church. And we will celebrate 5 years already here in April, which is amazing. Time flies. My youngest, that was born in the very first year of our church plant, just turned four here last month. And so, and then my oldest, Lord have mercy, is in double digits. All right, 10 years old. And man, I need much prayer and fasting. Amen. But when I told them I was coming here, the first thing that came out of their mouth, "Not fair, not fair," is they wanted to be here with me as well. But I'm thankful for my family. My wife's name, if you don't know, is Makia. She's an island gal from the island of the Bahamas. God allowed us to cross paths, and now I have her in the beautiful place of Dayton, Ohio. Okay, she upgraded, of course, but I'm thankful that she's here with me and laboring with me. And it's one thing to be able to serve the Lord on your own, which some of us at certain points in times, that may be your reality, or that might have been the case. But if you have that opportunity to be able to serve the Lord with your family, don't take that for granted. Don't take that lightly. And I don't, because there's no guarantees about tomorrow. There's no guarantees about the future, but I'm enjoying the time now. And so I get a kick. I get to church a little early on Sundays, and I have my youngest Jasper. He's moving a small little vacuum around, acting like he's doing something in one class. I got my oldest helping my wife clean bathrooms, which blesses my heart, because Lord knows this generation doesn't know much about cleaning bathrooms. But and then I have my oldest boy. He's doing some things. So he's usually putting out the sausage biscuits. We've been doing that since close to the beginning of our church. We get about 20 sausage biscuits, and it really began because we had some young people that would come to church, and you know, we take for granted, you know, we might get a muffin or get some breakfast before we come to church, get a pot of coffee or something. But a lot of these young people, you know, they don't have a lot at home. And so the sausage biscuits, it's a blessing to anybody, but most of the time it's those young people that take advantage of that. And we're very grateful to be able to do it. But I'm thankful for your love for our family, and I want you to know we're praying for you all as well, praying for you, your pastor and his family, but praying for all of you all that God would help you, keep you, allow you to serve the Lord, and continue to be a light here in Kettering and abroad. I know some of you might live in Kettering, some of you live outside of Kettering, but I'm thankful that God has you here, and I know he has you here for a great purpose. So continue to do your part. I know the Lord continue to bless. I do want to say this. The Lord not only allows me to pastor Dayton Baptist Church there on in North Gettysburg in Northwest Dayton, but I also have been given the opportunity to be able to be a program director at a place called the Victory Project, which is a faith-based nonprofit which doesn't take any government funding, so it gives us those liberties to be able to preach Christ and without apology and all those things. But we have about 50 young men that are there right by Children's Hospital off of Troy Street, 409 Troy Street. And with those 50 young men, we have an opportunity to help them with their education. We try to get into the schools, encourage them, first and foremost, to show up. It's amazing that some parents don't even care if their children go to school nowadays. But we try to help them with school, and we have weekly tutoring and those types of things, and helping them with their grades. And we have an entrepreneurship, which is another emphasis of ours. So we have a micro business called the Victory Improvement Projects, where they earn the right to work on Saturdays, understanding that work is a privilege. It's an opportunity that you get, and teach them the value of hard work. And I try to model that as well, but they, are required. There's a lot of things that they can't control. And what I'll tell you this, and it might not surprise some of you, but it is heartbreaking nonetheless. Out of the 50 or so young men that we have an opportunity to minister to on a weekly basis, none of them have mom and dad at home. None of them. And so we wonder why some of the things are the way that they are in our community, and why some of the things, it is very challenging. And but the Lord has given us a privilege to kind of stand in the gap. And so, the one thing is we tell them we can't control our attitude, our effort, and our consistency. So those are those areas. And if they do well throughout the week, they get an opportunity to work. And it's amazing. You got 12-year-olds that have to fill out tax information so that they can get their taxes out their paycheck. And we sit down with them and talk about financial stewardship and honoring the Lord. And hey, what are you going to do? Try to teach them about saving and all of those types of things. But then our foundation, of course, is the enlightenment. And so even today on Wednesdays, we have an opportunity to kind of worship together, and we sing to the Lord, and we have a Bible study, and talk about finding truth in the high school. And I think the middle schoolers are going through Exodus currently, and it's just a wonderful open door. I've seen a good amount of folk saved there in this past year, especially with this new open door. Seen some of their family members, some of the moms, stepdads, friends that have come to our church with this open door that we've had, and we've been able to see them saved and baptized, and working on trying to disciple them and train them, because sometimes we take for granted, especially if you've been in church for a long time, some things we think are common sense, but to someone that all they know is darkness and the way of the world, those are things that need to be taught and taught and taught and taught and taught, and so we are grateful for the opportunities we have. So I say all of that to say this: please pray for us. And I do covet your prayers. A sweet lady mentioned, as she was talking about praying for us, a young man that we had named Brother Anthony. He was there with us from Indianapolis, and he was 21 years old, and had a little bit of Bible college in him, but he was nearby, and he had moved to Dayton and brought his mom along with him to be able to be a help to the local church. It was great, but that time is now kind of past, and he actually went back to Indianapolis, and he's serving there and God's blessing there at his home church. But when it comes to our church, we are blessed to have a lot of newer Christians, but there is a lot of need as well. And especially when it comes to some leadership and things of that nature, and just some of the things that we want to be able to see the Lord do in our community. So please continue to pray for us, and I'll try to give you more of an update. And I hope to see you again. I hope Pastor Kagan, it must have been real desperate to have me come out here this evening, okay? So I'm sorry, you're going to have to deal with me a little bit. But no, I hope that's not the case. He's a dear friend, and you all. Honestly, especially those that I've known for quite some time, you all are dear friends. And so if I do not know you, please don't hesitate to, shake my hand, introduce yourself. I would love to get to know you all. I know, the reality is we all have some form of issues going on. Everybody has different problems. in life, different obstacles that sometimes we have to go through. But God is faithful, and thank God for that. And I'm thankful he's still on the throne. He's still in control. And as long as God gives us breath and gives us opportunity, let's continue to serve him together. And I'm glad we're on the winning side. We're on the same team. And so I'm grateful. But if there's been one thing that's changed my life, it's been the word of God. And I'm thankful I've had folk that God has placed in my life that really helped me, took me out of some difficult circumstances and allowed me to get more and more grounded in the word. And that's how I got saved. That's how the Lord called me to preach and led me to be able to come back home and to see this work established and it's sustaining us to this day. And so we're going to take some time and get in the word. And I know you don't mind. So go ahead and grab your Bibles. We'll turn to Mark chapter number 5 this evening. Mark chapter number 5, and while you're turning there, I'll go ahead and give you what we've titled the message today, and I think it'll help some of the folk that are helping me get mic'd up and all of those things. If not, it'll be all right. But we want to look at focusing on the solution and not the excuses. Focusing on the solution and not the excuses. You know, I know you may be, you know, the best of the best Christians. I'm sure when I came to Grace Baptist Church, I already knew you guys are up here, okay? But the reality is we do all have circumstances that happen in life. We all go through struggles. I mentioned some of these young men, and some of these young men don't have a two-parent home. Some of these young men, it's amazing. They might only have a one-parent home, and that one parent, they might not know where they are half the week. They might not know where their next meal comes from. And I'm thankful for the opportunity I have there at the Victory Project. We have an opportunity to have different churches, ministries, businesses that come through and provide meals. And we get an opportunity to be able to get to know them and pour into their lives. And it's a wonderful privilege, but that's a big, difficult situation for many of them. But many of you don't have those same situations or difficulties. I pray that none of you are struggling to know where your next meal comes from. I pray if that is the case, then you'll have a similar situation with some of them. But the reality is most of us, we know that, hey, we know where our next meal is coming from. Most of us, if you don't have your parents still alive or if you don't have them around or things of that nature, you know, you're at a point where you've gotten somewhat grounded in truth. Or God has allowed you to be able to find a good church where you have an opportunity to get more and more grounded in the Word of God so he can help you to live for him. But it's amazing that when 2020 hit, many people that kind of just went through the motions of Christianity, you know, attending church, you know, not doing certain things or staying in certain crowd, whatever the case is, when something crazy like that happened, all of a sudden it hurt some of folk and some of those folk that were just kind of just hanging on withered away. And they went the ways of the world and they questioned God in a lot of respect because they weren't grounded in truth. And I want to encourage you because some of us maybe might struggle with health, might be financial struggles, might be struggles in church, which I had mentioned. You know, we've been blessed this year, but I want to be honest, we have had some struggles in this past year. We've had some good folk that have transitioned on. We had a good brother that was pastor. He had pastored in Vermont, but he was from the Dayton area. He had come down with his family with a heart to want to help our ministry and help reach our community. And Lord saw fit and to take him home unexpectedly. And that was tough this year. But let me tell you, if we take all of our focus and look at why we shouldn't, why we can't serve the Lord, or why we can't give God our all, or we focus on the difficulty that we face, can I tell you, you lose sight of who we need to focus on, and that's on him. Can I tell you, we know Christ is always the answer. But sometimes when we're dealing with those real struggles, sometimes it's very easy to go to what we know, to what our flesh says we ought to go to or how we ought to handle a situation. And today, for the few moments, I want to be able to look at Matthew chapter number 5, and we're going to begin looking at verse number 21. Now, I'm only going to ask this, or actually, I will ask this, but if you're not able to, please do not feel bad, okay? If you're able to stand with me for a moment, let's stand for a moment, and I want to read some of this scripture together. I typically have our church stand for the reading of the word. It's not, you know, we don't stand every time we read a scripture or something of that nature, but it helps me, and it helped me, especially as a young man, to understand that, hey, something is taking place, something of significance. If the president was to walk into your job or was to walk into your home, most of the time, the first thing we do, we push in our chair, we'd stand up out of respect, and we might shake that individual's hand or you know, somebody of significance, whoever that might be in your own mind, you would stand, or you would, you know, ask them, for, you know, give them something. You would not ignore that individual, and not that we would ignore him sitting down, but I'm thankful when we change our position, it sometimes helps to change everything, our mindset, everything, to help us to say, you know what, we're reading God's word. And I hope we'll hold it in high regard. But beginning in verse number 21, we'll read down for a moment. It says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press and touched his garment. And for she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched my clothes? Or who touched me? Excuse me. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you that you're not just the Father in heaven, but you're our Father for those of us that have believed. You're not just the Creator, although you are the Creator. You're not just Savior, although we thank God you're not just Savior because you're our Savior. You are not just a healer. Many of us have experienced that you are our healer. You are our master. And I pray that tonight we recognize you also as Lord of our life. And Lord, no matter our age, no matter our financial status, no matter where we are in this life, the reality is that we are nothing without you. We still need your touch every single day. We need your leading, we need your guidance, we need your strength, we need your wisdom and discernment. And Father, we come to you this evening because we are humbling ourselves, because we can't help but be humbled in the sight of a perfect God. Any problem that we face is not greater than thee. And I pray that you'll help us to trust you. The just shall live by faith, and Father, I pray that you'll help us to live by faith, because you say without faith it is impossible to please you. And Lord, we give you all the glory that's due your name today. We love you, we thank you, in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Thank you again for standing. You go ahead and be seated. Tonight, again, we're focusing on the solution, not the excuses. I want to mention a young lady. It was a young lady that had been asked by her father to vacuum. And she was to vacuum a small area, well, a little room, you could say. And that young lady, she was obedient. She had a good attitude. She grabbed that vacuum. She plugged it in and started to work. And thank goodness, you know, we've all had experiences where you start to vacuum and you have to check because sometimes the thing doesn't work, okay? But this one was working. And she was able to start cleaning that area and doing a wonderful job. She again was obedient, had a good attitude about it, and didn't have to be asked twice. She was vacuuming the area, but after she vacuumed the area closest to her, she began to venture out a little further. And eventually she had to get to the other part of the room, and as she started to go out further and further, you can imagine what the problem was. All of a sudden, the vacuum stopped working. Why, you ask? Because the plug came out the wall. And she looked, and she sees all that she was able to accomplish, but then she knew that there was still work to do. But she saw that the plug, the cord, it wouldn't go any further. And she went to her father and said, "Father, I've done what I could. I cleaned up. This part's clean." She was done. But the father graciously spoke to her daughter and said, "I appreciate what you've done, but if you would have just looked at the other side, you would have seen the other plug, and you would have been able to finish." And it's amazing that sometimes we are like that little young lady, where we look at a situation and we say, "Hey, the circumstances are not ideal. My health is not ideal. My finances, I mean, I'm not the poorest person in the world, but I'm surely not the richest." We look at other circumstances. We say, "Well, you know, I could have a bigger house, or I could have a nicer car. I could have this. I could have that. I could have had a better job." We look at all of the things that could be better. And we look at the excuses of why we don't give God more. Not just financially. Oftentimes in church, when we think about giving, our instinct goes to finances. But can I tell you, before we ever give to God financially, do we understand that God first and foremost wants us to give of ourselves? And when we give God ourselves, then obviously that also means he has our wallets and he has control of our thoughts and all of these things. But if that young lady would have just said, "You know what, I got to get it done." And if she would have been looking, she might have looked at a good portion of the walls and not found a plug. But yet, if she would have kept looking and seeking for that answer, she would have easily saw it instead of just looking at the cord out of the wall and saying, "Well, I just can't do anymore." And unfortunately, we live in a world where by making excuses for ourselves, we're in good company. Well, there's a reason why I don't come to church that often. There's a reason why I don't try to serve as much as I could. There's a reason why I, have not surrendered to the Lord in this area of my life. There are excuses galore. But when we're amongst other people that make excuses of their life, it's easy to just skate through. Why? Because oftentimes what we do is, like that young lady, she might look at somebody else and say, "Hey, you stop vacuuming too?" We compare ourselves with others. You might look at somebody else and what they did and say, "You know what? I vacuumed more than they did. I did more than they did. Hey, guess what? Hey, I might not have been the best, but I don't cuss as much as that person. Or I don't drink as much as that person. Or I'm not as lazy as this person." It's very easy to compare ourselves with others. And can I tell you, you'll always find someone that you'll make yourself feel good about and pat yourself on the back. But this is the problem. In the Word of God, we have not been challenged to look at others and compare ourselves, but we have been challenged to look at Christ. And when we look at the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, my goodness, there is not one head that can be held high. When we look at Christ, we understand he's perfect. Perfect in love, perfect in patience, a perfect giver, sacrificial. You think of Christ and all that he endured. It's amazing that Christ, he came into this world as creator. He came into his own. And what did the Bible say? His own what? Received him not. It could have been excuse number one. I can't do it. They don't receive me. All right, time to go up. He didn't make an excuse. He was spat upon and beaten. He could have ended it there. There were many times, even amongst his own disciples, that he had called out. Judas betraying him. Peter following him afar off. Many excuses. But yet, I'm thankful that Christ didn't just share a story, but I'm thankful that Jesus Christ went all the way for you and I. All the way to Calvary, mission accomplished. Or as he said, it is finished. And can I ask you, as long as God gives us breath, as long as God gives you life, can it be said today from your lips, I'm done. I've done everything that you had me to do, God. God, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. I'm done. Last time I checked, the only one that can tell us when we're done is him. And as long as he gives us breath, there's a work to do. It's amazing. There are folk that, you know, you might not be able to, you might get to a point in life, and I pray I get old enough where maybe this will be the case in my own life, where I might not be able to go door to door, go up a bunch of steps. And I might not be able to share the gospel in that way. It just might not be a reality for me. Something could happen to me tomorrow and could cause me not to be able to utilize my legs. And it could be a reality tomorrow. It doesn't have to be age, but I'm just saying, does that excuse me from being able to share the gospel? Can I tell you? No, it doesn't. There's other ways. I pray that I would utilize the resources that I have. Wheel me somewhere. I might take my family to church. There might be a day when my family take me to church. There's no excuses. We look for the solution. And so, as we look at this portion of scripture tonight, we see this man who had a daughter. Can I tell you, when it's one thing for something to affect you when you get sick or you have a challenge. It's another thing for your daughter, for those men that have a father to have a daughter. That holds a special place in your heart. And you can imagine father's daughter is sick at the point of death. And I'm thankful that this man went to Jesus. And he had enough faith to say, hey, if you would just touch her, she'll be healed. That's faith. To say, hey, if I get her to you, Jesus, I know she'll be healed. That is faith. And Jesus heard and listened to that gentleman and began to head that way. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was that father, I would not want Jesus to stop at all. Matter of fact, I would be running and I would encourage him to come on. Let's go. Let's go as fast as we can. Because it was a desperate time. But as they were making their way, all of a sudden a crowd comes around. And not only a crowd, but we see a certain woman that stops Jesus in his tracks. And there's a lot that we could deal with in this passage, but I want to take a moment and look at that woman. Because we see a woman that could have made every excuse in the world why she could have just gave up. She could have quit. She could have made up an excuse, but she didn't. And so first, I would like to look at the issue at hand. The issue at hand. If you look at verse number 25, it says this. Oh, look at that. Boy, come on. I couldn't do that up there. I could about cover my face with this one, okay. But in verse number 25, it says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood. How long, church? 12 years. Now, I'm not going to have you raise your hand because we'd all raise our hands. We've all been sick at some point in time. Some of us more severely sick than others. Nobody wants to be sick. Nobody wants to deal with an illness. No one would say that I was at my peak being sick or dealing with that illness better than when I did not. That would be foolish. But even with maybe being sick, maybe it was a short period of time. Maybe there was a couple of days, or maybe it might take you out for a week. Maybe it might take you out for a couple of weeks. But the one thing about most illnesses, or most, I should say, most times of being sick, is you know that, hey, eventually I'm going to get better. There's a little light at the end of the tunnel to know that, hey, I might not feel well today, but as long as I get some fluids, as long as I get some rest, I know that eventually I'll turn the corner and I'll get better. Now, can you imagine being down for 12 years? Now, it says that this woman, it says that she had an issue of blood, verse number 25. So you can imagine this lady, she is losing blood for 12 years. When you lose blood, guess what? You lose energy. When you're losing blood, and that's a part of your life every single day for 12 years, can I tell you, it not only impacts you physically, but it impacts every aspect of life. It impacts your relationships, where you could go, what you can do. It affects your thought life, and you're embarrassed, you're confused, you're wearied. And you can imagine if you were going through something like that, it's one thing to go through it for a year. That would be a lot. 5 years would be a lot. But can I ask you, what if this woman had given up after 10 years? I think a lot of people would look at that woman and say, you know what? She gave it a good run. She tried for 10 years. But the reality was, the issue at hand is that she was ill. This issue of blood, it consumed her life. And I ask you tonight, you might not have the same issue, but do you have an issue that consumes your life? Can I tell you the first issue that we've all had, that issue of sin? That flesh that we carry, I wish when we got saved, all we had was God's Spirit living inside of us. But the reality is, we were given God's Spirit, and thank God for that. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll shout and throw a shoe for that. But we still have this flesh, and it's a battle. It's a battle. But when we think about that flesh, the solution isn't just, hey, just find the champion inside of you. Just think happy thoughts. I'm thankful. The solution to our flesh is God Himself, the Spirit that we have because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He is the solution. But can I tell you, could it be that although you might be here tonight and you're saved, could it be that you're still struggling with the flesh? Could it be that sin still consumes your life? That you have some of those chains, and although Jesus Christ has broken those chains, it seems kind of foolish. I love illustrations. I'm more of a visual learner, but some of us, it's like Jesus Christ had broken those chains of our life, but yet we still kept them for souvenirs, and we're still holding ourselves to a place as if we're not free. That's how foolish we look when we allow ourselves to be in bondage, but Christ has already made us free. That's how silly it is. We have everything we need, but He was that answer. And can I tell you, He's still the answer. But the issue can be severe. Now, I don't know your story. I don't know your testimony, many of you. You know, some things are seen, some things are not seen when I think of those issues, those struggles, even with sin. You know, we think of drunkenness and someone that, you know, alcoholism or someone that, you know, just has a foul mouth, and we can point to that sin, or someone that, you know, does something outwardly, stealing and murder and those types of things. We could point to that. But what about bitterness? What about envy? You know, it stinks to be hurt, but many of us have gone through it, and the church is not immune to hurt. Sometimes some of the worst hurt happens in church. But are you holding on to some bitterness? Think about what Christ forgave us for. If Christ can forgive, can we not forgive? there was a great issue at hand, and it consumed her life for these 12 years. It was a serious issue. Can I tell you, if you're going through an issue, if you're going through, whether it be a battle with sin or a physical battle, can I tell you, I do not want to make it seem like it's not a big deal, because some of those battles are. Some sin, when you deal with it for many, many years, it's hard to let go of. But I'm thankful. There are thousands of excuses, but there is a solution that we can focus on. We see the issue at hand, but we also see the resilience of the woman. If you look at verse number 26, we see that this woman, it says that she had the issue of blood 12 years, a serious issue. But in verse number 26, I want you to learn a little bit about her story, or be reminded for many of us. It says, and had suffered many things of many physicians. Can I ask you, church, when you're sick, where do you go to? Or who do you go to? The doctor. The doctor. It makes sense. That would be something I would consider common sense, especially a luxury that we have here in America. When you're sick, you go to the doctor. But yet, when you read the account of this certain woman, it says she had suffered many things by many physicians. You know what I noticed from this woman from the very beginning? She was not lazy. She was suffering. She went through a lot in her life for those 12 years, but she was not sitting at home, oh me and oh myin. She was not just saying, hey, you know what? I'm just a lost cause. There's nothing out there for me. But we see in her life that she was looking for a solution, and she went to the one that, compared to what everybody else would say, would be the answer. She was going to the physicians, and yet it says that she suffered by the hand of many physicians. But also, let's move on. It says here, and had spent all that she had. Maybe you've experienced going to a doctor and all of a sudden you're looking for answers and they have none. Or they give you a medication, which that's the first thing that they're going to do. And they give you a medication and all of a sudden that medication, like your body doesn't react the way it should. It doesn't work. So you got to try something else and try something else. And it's one thing to go to someone that's supposed to have those answers and doesn't have them. But can you imagine going somewhere to the doctors and none of these doctors have an answer? None of these doctors are able to help. And matter of fact, you're suffering because what they're advising is not helping you. You know what makes that situation worse? Get into a place where you're broke. I'll tell you, being broke makes anything worse, all right? She spent all she had. But notice, she wasn't making excuses. She was looking for the solution, but she was just looking for the solution in places that could not fill and cannot heal. She was looking at these doctors, and these doctors aren't helping. And then because she is seeking out all these doctors, she's using all her resources, and she's a place where now all of a sudden she is without. It just shows you how difficult she had, how difficult a time she had. But she did not stop. We always want to get from the beginning to the end. Pretty simple. But look at the details. How many people are going to look at your life and they see how you were born and see how your life was going, and they're just going to go to see how you are now? You know, you could tell somebody and share your testimony about how life started in your home, and you could tell them about how things are now. But no matter how much you try, we know between us and God, there are a lot of details in between of God working in our life that many will never know. And we have an opportunity to see some details in her life and where she was doing what she could, and she was suffering, and she spent all she had. But notice, you know when I talked about us being sick and then we can usually see the light at the end of the tunnel and it gives us some hope? You know, maybe when you get, you know, some advice and all of a sudden you know, one of your symptoms all of a sudden gets cleared up, or you're told, hey, you got this amount of time, or maybe you got some rehab on something. You're like, okay, well, this rehab, it's difficult. I don't like it. It's challenging. But after this amount of time, they said, I'm going to be back to where I'm supposed to be. It gives you some light at the end of the tunnel. But notice for her, after all of that, she was suffering by many doctors or many physicians. She had spent all that she had, so she's broke. And then it says here, nothing bettered. 12 years, no progress. Whoa. Wow. And again, if this was you, would you have quit after 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, 11 and a half? I just want to encourage you from your brother in Christ. No matter where you are on the journey with Christ, don't quit, please. It might seem quite challenging. It might get real difficult. And you might not see much progress, but please don't quit. Because as long as God has us living, can I tell you, He has a purpose. He has a purpose for our lives. And it says here again that she was nothing bettered, but then it says after that, but rather grew worse. My goodness. Do you not have some sympathy for this woman? 12 years, she's going all around. First and foremost, when I'm sick, I am a baby. I'm like, honey, Makia, my wife, I said, you got to take care of me, okay? I just act like the most pitiful person, okay? Because she'll take care of me, okay? She might complain, but eventually she's not going to let me struggle too long, okay? But she was struggling with being sick, but she was going. She wasn't like me and I'm up in a bed waiting to get better to be able to do something. She was trying, and she used all she had, and she wasn't getting any better. Matter of fact, she got worse. But I'm thankful that she kept trying. You know why she kept trying? Because she believed that there was an answer. And I want to, I'm not going to keep you here all night, I promise you, but I'm thankful for what God's done in my life, and He's still working on me. But I look at, man, there are some areas in our lives where sometimes it's just, you just don't see it. Sometimes it looks like the stronghold that Satan has on us is just overwhelming. And sometimes, if you go to a certain place, some of these congregation things, and you'll find somebody that'll tell you, you know what, it is what it is. You could, you know, we're all sinners. Don't worry about it. It's okay. None of us are perfect. But can I tell you, when we have God's Spirit living inside of us, what we lost were the excuses. Because when we can't, He can. We just have to see it through. If ye faint not, right? You'll see it if ye faint not. And I'm thankful she didn't quit. But in let's look at 27 through the end. The last thing that we see the issue at hand, we see the resilience of the woman, but lastly, we see the moment to shine. The moment to shine. It might not make sense now, but I hope it makes sense here in a moment. Because in verse number 27, it says, when she had heard of Jesus. I got to stop. When she had heard of Jesus. You know what was the beginning of the change in this woman's life? Because she had heard of Jesus. I want you to think with me for a moment. I pray that the Holy Spirit would point it out in your own mind. Think about the many folk that God allows you to see every single day or much time. There are some people in your life that you have the privilege to be able to have some form of influence in their life, and some of those people will never meet a Pastor Kagan. They'll never meet a preacher so-and-so. They'll never step foot in a church, but for some reason, God saw fit to put you in their life. Could it be said that God did something in their life because they heard you mention Jesus? There's some things that I wouldn't mind people recognizing me for, remembering me for. I hope a hard worker is a good one. I want to be a hard worker. It burdens my heart that some of the Christians in our workforce in general are known for being some of the laziest, most sorry workers. Can I tell you, as a Christian on your job or wherever God has you, can I tell you, we ought to strive to do the best that we can. Not to please the boss, but to please the master. Remember the Bible says, "For whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." We ought to stand by that. And it gives us, allows us to have a testimony where God might open the door for us to be able to have a platform to speak on his behalf. But I'm thankful she heard. If she would have never heard, she would have never went. And that might be the same testimony for somebody in your life. Can you remember who you heard that name from? I hope you're eternally grateful for that individual. When I think about West Dayton, can I tell you, it would have been a lot easier for my family and I to stay in North Carolina in that church and just serve the Lord. Great people. I love them. They might have not looked like me. We might have not always came from similar situations, but they were God's people. And God led us there, and it was wonderful. I was working, I had a business I was doing. I mean, things were pretty good. Bought our first house. We were in a great situation. But, you know, I thought about, what about these people that had not heard? And I was convicted. Now, God might not call you to be a missionary somewhere, or he might. But I pray that everyone that comes across your path, I pray that if they don't hear your own name, that they'll hear about that man named Jesus. And it says, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now, remember, there was a multitude. So do you know how difficult it would have been for this woman to get to Jesus? But she didn't quit. I know I don't have to ask this probably to this crowd, but how bad do you want him? How bad do you want him? How bad do you want that solution in your life? How bad do you want that Savior to help you? To maybe give you a little personal revival, to stoke the embers again in your life. Can I ask you, are you content being a cold Christian, or are you willing to press through the crowd, although you might not feel like it, you might not think it's possible, but you're trying with everything that's in you to get to him? Are you willing to try? And she pressed through the crowd, and she was able to get through, and she touched his garment. And it says, she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. When she heard that name, it gave her some faith. It gave her some faith. I've tried a lot of things, but I haven't tried Jesus. And can I tell you, that's sometimes what we do. When trouble comes, we go to that person. When trouble comes, we go to that place. But when trouble comes, many a times, the first person we go to is not God Almighty. But thank God she didn't quit, and she kept going, and she had faith. And notice also, it says in verse number 29, after she had touched, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And it says here, and Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Aren't you so thankful and rejoicing with this woman? She got to him, and she was healed. And if I was healed after a week of being sick, and all of a sudden somebody came through, and I got, man, I'm telling you, I would be thrilled. But 12 years consuming my life, not able to live a normal life or whatever the case, 12 years, and all of a sudden now I get healed, I would be overjoyed. But Jesus could have let her be healed and just gone about her business. She could have just been healed and just, you know, gone and enjoyed that. But yet, he asked, who touched me? Is it because he didn't know? Now, I don't question his deity tonight. We know Jesus is God. Amen? Amen. And being God, he is omniscient. He knows it all. So he knew. But he still asked. Why? It wasn't for his benefit. He's perfect. It was for hers. And I believe for the multitude, the crowd. And of course, the disciples always, they weren't on the same page. They didn't get it. But it said in verse, let's skip down to verse 33. It says, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. The truth always works. Always tell the truth. Simple. But she was fearful. She was trembling because she knew what happened. And I can only imagine at this point in time, she's wondering, Jesus, why you got to call me out? Jesus, I don't know. I done made a fool of myself. She, the woman probably crawling, probably struggling. She's fighting through the crowd to get to Jesus. I mean, some people, they already probably looking at her funny. They're probably saying, what in the world is this sick lady doing here? I mean, good night. You know, when you're losing blood, you know, you might get a little more pale. And there's no telling. There's no telling how she looked or how she was approaching it. But I'm sure she would have just rather gone and been okay. But she got called out, and it says here in verse number 34, what did he say? And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. See, if you don't quit and you allow God to do what only God can do in your life, it could be that God would put you in a situation where it might seem like he's seemingly calling you out. And he might say in front of everyone, hey, you, your faith had made you whole. Be healed. She was put on display as an example of what God could do in a life. It wasn't just that she was healed, but can you imagine those in the crowd that were following Jesus? We know that many that were following weren't true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They weren't believers. There were some that were just following the entertainment. But could have been that some people in the crowd would have been so greatly impacted because they saw this woman that didn't quit, that got to Jesus and who Jesus made whole. Can I ask you tonight? Know that people are watching you. They're watching. It could be your children, it could be your grandchildren, it could be your friends, it could be your neighbors. They're watching you. They're seeing some of the pains, they're seeing some of the frustration, they're seeing some of the difficulty that you've gone through. It is very easy for all of us to be able to make excuses of why we can't. But can I tell you, God has called us to look for the solution. And when we look to Jesus, we find that solution to our every problem, to our every need. And I'm thankful this woman, she got an opportunity to have that moment. You know, with these young men, it's been one of the joys of my life because it's been an opportunity for me to be able to shine in a way. And to say, hey, look, I've been there. I come from a broken home. My father was Catholic, my mom was Pentecostal, been through divorce. I stayed at an abused women's shelter with my mother for a portion of my time. I lived in another part with another housing situation in Jefferson Township with my mom at a young age. I dealt with sin in my life, thought that was just how it was gonna be. But then I heard about Jesus. Had some folk that loved me and cared enough to ride a bus and drive a bus and got me into church. And I was a hard case, but God, through time, people just kept watering the seed. And eventually, I gave it. But because I've seen God doing it in my life, I look to these young men and I say, God can do it in yours. It's because I touched his clothes. I got to Jesus. And I pray for you all, please don't quit. Look to him because he can and he will do what he says he's going to do in our life. And I pray that we'll look for the solution and not the excuses. Could you go ahead and stand with me for a moment? Can we stand? I'm going to have one of our brothers pray and close us out here in a moment. But with every head bowed and every eye closed, I don't know how we typically do on a Wednesday evening, but I will say this. I've heard a lot of preaching, even though I haven't grown up in church. I've heard a lot of preaching in my time as a young man. The preaching is one thing, but what I have to understand that I have to give an account for is how did I respond to what God gave me? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want you to take a moment just between you and the Lord. I think all of us would just start with gratitude. God, thank you. God, thank you. God, thank you. I'm thankful God never gave up on us. I'm thankful God made a way when there was no others. So many places we went trying to fill that void in our life. So many things that we tried to get to fill that void, and yet it kept leaving us empty-handed. Fun for a season, but then we were left empty. But then we came to Jesus. Thank God for him. But also, would you consider where you're still struggling? What's that obstacle in your life right now? And you say, hey, this is something that I'm struggling with. This is something that is keeping me from maybe giving my all. It could be pride. It could be self. It could be a lot of different things. It could be logic. Can I tell you, logic doesn't always line up with faith. Whatever that might be, I pray that you'll give it to the Lord today and you'll keep pressing. If you're going through a difficult time in your life, I just want to say, I'm committing, before I pillow my head tonight, I'm going to pray for you. Because I might not know what that is, but God does. Do not quit. God has a purpose and a plan still for your life. And I pray that when it's all said and done, that we'll give him all the glory. And we'll rejoice at not just what he did for us, but what he allows us to, what he does through us, to be able to see a difference made in many others all around us. Brother, if you wouldn't mind, if you come and close us out in a word of prayer tonight.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this time together in your word. And Lord, I just pray that you would give us the faith of this woman. Lord, help us to know that we can come to you for the solution. Yes. And Lord, that there are no excuses, only coming to you. Father, we thank you that you do provide the answer. We thank you that you're in control of all things. And yes. Lord, just ask as we continue this week that you would guide us in what we do, give us the wisdom that we need in dealing with people around us and yes. witnessing with people around us and just stating your name that people might hear you and hear of you. And again, Lord, we just thank you for all that you do. We thank you for your salvation.
Yes, Lord.
And continue to pray, Lord, that you would be with our pastor as he's away and his family. And Father, we pray for the situation in Israel. We pray for
yes.
the peace of Israel, Lord, and just pray that your will be done there. We thank you and praise you. It's in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. God bless y'all. Y'all have a great rest of the evening.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To learn more about Grace Baptist or how to have eternal life, visit gracekettering.org. And remember, you are always welcome at Grace Baptist Church.